Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Selling as a Profession. I'm your host, Velton Shawl, and I am so glad to be back with you this evening after a short hiatus at the end of 2014 and as 2015 begins. And, you know, as I pondered coming back today and speaking to you, I was really focused on the things that have happened as 2015 has started. 2015 has started as an incredible year in every aspect of the word. You know, 2014, we started to see our economy turn around. We started to see the essence of the labor of our president and those individuals in his cabinet that are on board and helping life change in the United States of America for the betterment of everybody involved. Now, all of the changes have not yet trickled down or have not engulfed all of us in every aspect of our lives, but things are changing. Things are really starting to move ahead, and everyone who has been working to that end needs to be commended. When I ended 2014, I talked about finishing strong and making sure that the year really brought us to the precipice of a new day. And as we moved into 2015, one of the things I wanted to talk about today and as we go into the new year is the new era, the new way of looking at life. Almost in sync with what I have talked about and the mantra that I utilize for my following and my concept is transformation. We're transforming as we move through 2015. We have started the first quarter, and believe it or not, we are now in April, and the first quarter of 2015 is almost in the history books. Almost completed, almost history, almost the past. But I'm here to tell you tonight that as I've gone through the first 2.5 months of this year, my life, my message, my being has transformed from where it was in 2014 to where it is now in 2015 with looking at 2015, 16, and beyond as the future, the new era, the new way of life, the new way of looking at things. And I wanted to talk to you this evening about those types of things because as I traveled in January and February of this year, a lot of things happened. A lot of great things allowed me to take an attitude of refocus, rejuvenation, and re-energizing. And I want to share some of those things with you. You know, I started the year speaking in Birmingham, Alabama, to an organization called the Religious Conference Managers Association of America. And a lot of us are very, very spiritual and very religious, and we look to our leadership for guidance, for inspiration, and for knowledge. And I want to tell you, as I stood in front of the 1,200 people that were at this conference, and I spoke to them about the things that they had asked me to talk about, it really gave me the opportunity to step out of my small environment and really look at things from a global perspective, looking at things in the eyes and through the eyes of the people in the audience. And I wanted to speak to you tonight because many times in our lives, we are so caught up in our own individual issues, the individual things that are pressing us on a daily basis that we get so consumed with that we don't take the opportunity to step back and take a breath and look at things through the eyes of the people around us. But I want to tell you, that in itself gave me the opportunity not only to look at where I was, but to look at where the people that I was asked to bring this message to were, where they were in their daily walk, where they were in their lives and the attitudes based on the circumstances that had been presented to them. Many times we look at things and we say, here's how it impacts me as an individual. And we miss the opportunity to say, not only does it impact me as an individual, but it impacts everybody around me. It has a very, very staunch revelation for many of the people that are in the audience, that are in our inner circle, that are in our jobs, that are in our lives, our families, our communities, and all of the people that we touch on a daily basis. Do we really understand, or do we take a moment to say, hey, how is this affecting you? I know how it's affecting me, but my processing of this information and my ability to then speak from my inner soul to you of how I see this information, how does that impact or affect your life? Charles Swindoll said that life is 10% of what happens to me, but 90% of how I respond to it. And my response when I'm standing in front of that audience, or when you're sitting in that corporate boardroom, or you're sitting with your child, or your family, or your friends, or your community, how you come back to them, how you respond to them, has major impact on their well-being, on their ability to process that information, on their ability to take that information and change it for the betterment of their life and their future. I spoke to a small group in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I have to tell you, most of the time I spend days and I spend my night, my mornings and my afternoons and my evenings speaking to people in corporate America. But on this particular evening, I was asked to speak to a group of young men who were in the system. And when I say in the system, they were in the judicial system. They had issues with the law. They had issues that had brought them to the point of either being free or incarcerated. And as I stood before these young men, a spirit and a feeling came over me. And as I looked out into the audience and talked to these young men, every one of these young men had something in common. And what they had in common wasn't good. What they had in common was they all had ankle bracelets. And I looked down at their feet and I looked down at their legs and I saw ankle bracelets. And I saw a monitoring system that limited where they could go and how they came and how they went, what they did every day of their lives. And I said to myself, wow, they have an ankle bracelet on, but many of us in life don't have the physical bracelet on us, but we have the physical limitations that we have placed upon ourselves. We look at life as limiting us on our ability to take hold of the God-given talents that we have and bring forth that positive energy to the world. And as I stood before these young men and I talked to them about difference, about the ability to be great in their lives, I listened to their responses. And as they responded to me, I had to regroup and I had to go back and I had to think. By the grace of God, so goes me. By the grace of God, I could be one of these young men sitting before me with limitations placed on my life based on one thing and only one thing only, the choices that I've made. The choice to do the right thing or the choice to do the wrong thing, or even more important, the choice to do the easy thing versus the choice to do what's more difficult. And I remembered a statement that my coach and mentor, Les Brown, mentioned to us. He said, you know, in life, most people do just enough work not to get fired. And most people will pay you just enough so you don't quit. And as I looked at the audience and as I talked to these gentlemen, I thought about the fact that most of these guys have done just enough to do enough to get by. And in most instances, what they thought was enough didn't make it. And therefore, they were in a situation that they could not change because of the choices they had made in their lives. Life is not meant to be easy. And I've heard it said that you only go around once in life. And believe it or not, this is no practice run. And as I spoke and I listened to these gentlemen talk back to me and give me their stories and what happened to them, I said to myself, it's all about choices. And I spoke to them and I talked to them and I tried to give them hope and I tried to give them an idea of a different way of life. And one of the young men said to me, I asked him, I said, what happened to you? Tell me about your story. Tell me about how you got into this situation that has now made a difference in your life and not a difference for the positive. And he said to me, he said, well, I had a situation where I saw a gentleman and he was dressed in a suit and he looked like he had a lot of money. And I hadn't had any money. I didn't have any money. I didn't know where any money would ever come from. And I decided that I was going to stick him up. I decided that I was going to take the chance to get what he had to improve my situation. And I stuck him up. I robbed him. And I looked at the gentleman, the young man, and I said, how much did you get? And he said, well, you had $130. I said, $130? That's it. I said, you got $130? And he looked at me sadly, and he said, no. He said, I didn't get $130. Before I got the $130, the police came. I got nothing. And I said to him, and I thought of myself trying to help him see a better way, and I said to him, I said, you mean to tell me you gave up the positive part of your life for $130. And I said to him, I said, young man, $130 is no money. And I was really looking at him, really trying to tell him that $130 in the overall scheme of things is no money. And I really felt, based on what I knew in my environment, that the message I was delivering to him was powerful and would change his life and change the way he looked at things, because I had everything. I had the world on a string. I had the world by the tail. I'm speaking to people across the world and across the country, and I'm making a difference in people's lives and changing the way they look at things. And one of the other young men in the audience said, sir, $130 might not be a lot of money to you, but to us, when we haven't had any money and we don't know when we're going to get any more, $130 is a lot of money. Speechless. It just hit me in a place, and I said to him, you know what? You're right. I apologize for looking at the world and looking at life only through my shadowed glasses. But it said to me, how many times in our lives do we look at our situation and our circumstances only based on what's happening to us? and what's going on in our world and what's going on in our lives, and not understanding how other people view the same situation. It taught me a lesson that I'll never, ever, ever give up. It taught me a lesson that I wanted to bring to you tonight and share with you, that many times when things look grim, when things don't look the way we want them to look, when people have just given us so much grief and so much negativity, that we have to understand that there are people in our lives that will touch us who are either in worse situations, but there are also people in our lives that will come to us and present to us and be a part of us that are in much better situations than we are. And that life is full of choices. The choice to do more, the choice to do better, or the choice to do what is expected. What do we do? How do we address it? How do we move forward? How do we handle the difficult challenges and opportunities that life presents to us? This young man now had to deal with a decision and a choice that he had made in his life that had put him in a situation that he didn't dream of being in, that he didn't want to be in, but the circumstances made him now deal with negativity. And as I looked into his eyes, and as I spoke to him, and as I felt his presence, I understood that this is not the world or the situation that he wanted to be in. But knowledge is the new currency. Knowledge is power. And seeing things through a different set of eyes in a different way could change his outlook and how he viewed his future. This young man came forward as we spoke and as we talked and as we shared, and he said to me, "I really don't want to be in this situation. I really don't want to be in the circumstances that I'm currently in. But I don't know any different. I don't know how to change." And I said to him, as I say to you, many times the change that we seek is foreign to us. The change that we want is not the change or the circumstance that is presented to us.